Reading this morning is Genesis 28, starting at verse 10, going on to 22, and it's all about Jacob's dream at Bethel, and we're using, of course, the New Living Translation. So starting at verse 10, meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and travelled towards Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from earth to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the east and to the west, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it." But he was also afraid and said, "What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven." The next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against. He set it up as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. He named that place Bethel, which means house of God, although it was previously called Luz. Then Jacob made this vow: "If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshipping God. And I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me."
Well, last week, Tim helped us to see that as church, we are a people who are both elected and exiled, part of the church in mission, which is gathered and then scattered and meant to make all the difference in the world, which is of the pure gospel. The church is a body of people living in that rhythm of gathering and scattering, usually gathering on a Sunday, of course, and scattering for the rest of the week. Despite being a minority, we're gathered together as a worshipping community and scattered as disciples to our individual front lines to make all the difference in the world for Christ. To be effective on our front lines, we need to grow as Jesus' disciples. And to do that, we need one another. Everyone has a front line, a place where we do life or work, and where we encounter people who don't know Jesus. We don't need to go looking for these. We're already there. We just need to see these ordinary, familiar places with fresh eyes. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, help us to see that you are present in our everyday places, and that they are places where your work in us can also be through us to bless others with the good news of hope and healing that many are searching for today. Thank you that the unexpected places can become places of encounter and transformation. Amen. Encounters with God are transformative, and they happen in the course of our life with all its ups and downs. They happen in the places that we regularly find ourselves in. They happen too in places that we can unexpectedly find ourselves in. A bit like Rosie's being an hour and a half on the platform waiting for another train that she mentioned a couple of weeks ago. In today's account of Jacob, he's in a place on his own at a time when he's in serious conflict with his brother. Esau wants to kill him. Jacob, his grasping younger by the minute's twin brother, has tricked him out of his birthright. He has taken Esau's future security from him and left him with nothing. As Jacob runs away, he meets God in the last place he expected. In church, it's easy to rush over the central point of the story. God meets Jacob. It sounds like the sort of church talk that most of us will accept in church surroundings, but possibly be suspicious about elsewhere. Outside the church, we would want to ask, did we imagine it? Was it because of the stress he was under? But as Walter Brueggemann, who's an Old Testament theologian, has said in his commentary on Genesis, neither of these will do. The narrative shatters our presuppositions. It insists that the world is a place of such meetings. So if it's easy to rush over the amazing part of the story, Jacob meets God, then we may try to make it safer for ourselves by thinking that we're most likely to meet God in so-called holy places, whether that's church buildings or the tops of mountains, and so not expect to meet God too often. I mean, how often are you in church and on the top of a mountain? But the Bible story doesn't go along with that. Most of the time, God meets people in the least likely places. He meets Moses in a burning bush, Elijah not in a whirlwind, but in a whisper of a still small voice at the doorway to a cave. Jesus meets Zacchaeus up a tree, the woman at the well about fetching water, and Peter at his fishing business on the beach. Most of these New Testament encounters with Jesus definitely occur in ordinary, everyday places. There have been incredible stories in our lifetime of people encountering God in prisons, schools, homes, workplaces, sports clubs, pubs, fields, and even on aeroplanes. It still happens. God is here meeting people. Can you imagine if you met God on a 737 when you were flying home from somewhere? Next time you got on a 737, you might think, well, maybe this is where I meet God. But God meets us wherever we are in different ordinary places. When God is present, or when his presence is revealed, he transforms for the person who encounters him that ordinary place into a holy place. Back in this Genesis story, the place Jacob spent the night was just a handy stopping off place, a kind of modern day Holiday Inn, or perhaps an old days Holiday Inn. But for Jacob, this very ordinary place becomes extraordinary. It's what we might describe as a touching point, a place where heaven comes close to earth. So Jacob gives the place a new name. He names it Bethel, which means the house of God. Surely this must be the house of God, he said. And the name stuck. So all these later, it's still called Bethel. That is what we mean by front lines. Ordinary places that are touching places between God and his world that may not know his love. In the video, ordinary places become holy places. For the plumber, it was his customer's house. For the grandma, the front room. For the businesswoman, the office. For the football coach, it was the pitch. When we go to our ordinary places in the name of Jesus, they become touching points between heaven and earth. You see, God is with us. We've already invited him into our lives. Jacob marks that ordinary place of his encounter with God with a stone. God assures Jacob that he hasn't finished with him yet. God's purposes will be worked out through Jacob. Jacob's been a schemer the whole of his life, And that's why he's on the run. But in this place, he hears the voice of God reassuring him that God will make a difference through Jacob in the places he finds himself. Jacob owns the place, knows that it's significant. Jacob met with God in a dream. That's significant. And from now on, he doesn't have to be running all the time. For some of you, this pandemic is dragging on. Life is slow, too slow. For others, you're working at a frantic pace just to keep up, let alone find space for anything very much. Maybe we need to embrace the slowness of our lives, or to find the determination to make a space in our lives to allow ourselves to become more aware of God's presence with us. When you leave the virtual door of our gathered church this morning and go back into the ordinary places you find yourself, you know, when you switch the button off on your screen, go with an expectation that God can be at work with you. Ask God to show you what he is doing and seek to join him. In all our front lines, our growing edges, our frontiers of faith, we need our vision to be synchronized with the Lord's and his presence in us and with us, to be light, to be the light that molds even our deepest thoughts and the wisdom which we act upon. And so we're going to sing, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart." Thank you, Ben.
So here is Jacob on a journey from Beersheba to Haran. He stopped simply because the sun had set. So he paused to sleep. There was nothing special about this place. It had no name. It was an in-between things kind of space. And Jacob was tired and probably overwrought in an anonymous part of the country. He wasn't expecting anything to happen. He had no desire to meet God at this point in his life. His only concern was survival. And he fell asleep. And there's no other time, is there, when we are least in control of our destiny than when we're sleeping. And so this picture of Jacob reflects the life situations of some of us, perhaps. Tired, scared, spirit of adventure knocked out of us. A time when we realise that we really aren't in control of our own destiny. We're on our journey through life. And we find ourselves in an uncomfortable place, a stone for a pillow. When I go on holiday, in fact, when I go anywhere, I take my pillow with me, otherwise I don't sleep. So a stone for a pillow. And we may be feeling just too tired to do anything about it, or not know what to do about it, or maybe feel unworthy to have God sort it out for us, like Jacob. We're in a place of discomfort. So here's the good news. God chooses to meet with Jacob. He brings healing to him and he encourages him into a life of faith. It's a beautiful picture of how through grace, heaven comes down to meet us here on earth. On a ladder, but most completely, of course, in the person of Jesus. It's a picture of an incredible truth that earth can be linked to heaven. There really is a stairway to paradise, a way for us to have a relationship with God that is real and alive. And God makes three promises to Jacob in this dream. A promise of his presence, and he says, "I will be with you." A promise of his protection. He says, "I will protect you wherever you go." And a promise of blessing. "Through you, I will bless all nations." To an undeserving Jacob. So the word of God to Jacob and the word of God to each one of us today is the same. That God promises to be present with us through our trials in life. God promises to protect us in our most vulnerable times. And God promises to pour abundant blessings on our lives. And healing begins when we receive this word from God. And then we can encounter his presence, protection, and blessing. And we can share it with others. So in this random place, a place where Jacob stopped simply because it had got too dark to continue his travels, that place became a place where he has an encounter, a special place. And so he gave it a name, Bethel, House of God. He wasn't looking for it. He wasn't earnestly on his knees praying for God to bless him. He wasn't connected with God at all. But God initiated it. And by verse 20, Jacob had reflected on those promises of promise, protection and blessing. But notice there's an interesting way that Jacob phrases this, because he uses the word if. He says, if God will be with me, then the Lord will be my God. So it seems like he's not absolutely sure. Perhaps it just was a crazy dream. But he's stepping out in faith. He's still a man full of doubts. And I think that's a real comfort to us, because sometimes most of us are too. So his faith begins with an if, because faith that begins with an if is the faith that is actively looking for God to do something. It's a faith that is ready to receive, waiting the activity of God, looking out for the activity of God as proof of his love and grace. So we may be still full of doubts, but that's okay. Our doubts don't negate the promise of God in our lives. And the promise of God is greater than our doubts. So wherever you are, whether you're in a place where you're quite sure that God has called you to be, whether it's simply the place you are because it's too dark to go on, whether it's the only place you can possibly be right now, or whether it's somewhere you don't want to be at all, be quite sure that this place can be a place where God will meet with you and where you will know God's presence. And sometimes, as Peter said, people call the places where the distance between heaven and earth seems to shrink, you know, like Jacob's ladder shrunk that space between heaven and earth. Sometimes people call it a thin space. I think it's a Celtic idea. Places where it somehow seems to be easier to know the presence of God. We might have favourite places for this, whether it's a chair in a corner where we've worshipped and prayed and read the Bible for many years, whether it's a church where for hundreds of years there's been worship and praise and the reading of God's word, or whether it's in the Philippines, in the shacks, handing out things that represent the love of God for people. But what is wonderful is that any place can become a place where God breaks into our normal lives. So watch for the presence of God in everyday places. Look out for him. He's there, whether you're in the operating theatre, at the cash point, or in the street. He's there in the classroom, the field, or your home. And he's wanting to be known by you and be known by those you're with. So let's watch out and be alert to the presence of God this week. Father God, would you open the doors of opportunity for us this week, that we may learn to live for you. May we have courage to walk into opportunities, to speak words of encouragement, to do acts of kindness, to be a listening ear, and to be a witness to you. Help us make a difference wherever we are this week. And most of all, maybe help us to be aware of your presence in the places where you've put us. Amen.